At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
No question, one of the greatest careers in U.S. men's national team history and European club history. He is DeMarcus Beasley, a former Houston Dynamo, joins us now. DeMarcus, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem, Glenn. It's always good to see you, my man.
This is great. You know, you and me were laughing a minute ago. I said, you're an easier guy to get for an interview post-playing career than you are during your playing career.
That is very, very true. Yeah, I didn't. Everyone knows I didn't do too many interviews when I was playing. I think this is the most I've spoken and or done interviews in my whole life. But you know what? To be honest, I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. You know, I don't know why I didn't do it sooner. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
But, you know, you have a great engaging personality. So, you know, that's why people wanted to get you, not only obviously for your playing career, but, you know, in my case, it was like, man, yeah, come on, this guy's seen it all. He's done it all. These are the people you want to interview, right? I mean, you know, you get some 18 or 19 year old rookie, you know, you have a hard time getting them to say their name, you know? So you're always desired. Well, listen, I'm glad you're on the show and I'm enjoying listening to you doing other things. All right. So just position this World Cup team for me and this young group. And I kind of compare it to 2002 with you and Landon and that group that broke onto the stage. Kind of compare the two.
I think they're completely different, to be honest. You know, we had, and the one glaring factor is we had a lot of veterans in that team. You know, Landon and I were the only two young guns. Yes, we had some players that hadn't played in the World Cup before. That is comparable. But as far as the personnel that was on the field in 2002 compared to hopefully who will be on the field in 2022 in Qatar, it's totally different. You know, you look at the names that we had then and now, you know, our core group is 22 and under. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. You know, that's I think that shows a little bit of the strides that we've taken from then. I know we had a blip, obviously. I can't say blip, a very big blip in 2018. But you look at this squad, and they're hungry. They have no fear. They go out and try to perform it to the best of their ability and try to, you know, not let the criticism get to them and kind of, you know, harm their culture and their group of the national team. But yeah, I think there isn't too many different similarities with the 2002 group and 2022.
This is a group I think America could fall in love with in a World Cup. There seems to be a focus from young guys and maturity. Maybe that has to do with the clubs they're playing on in Europe. Maybe you can comment on that.
Yeah, I think so. I think they understand now that we are seeing a more mature national team. I think they get it. Yes, they're very talented. They're good players. We've said great things about them in the past, but the thing that they were missing in the beginning of their short national team career was what it meant to play for the national team, what it really means to wear the badge and have that crest and that flag on your heart. Yeah, they played hard. They wanted to win for the country, but to go out there and show it every single time you go out to step on the field, it takes time, you know, and they were all young. They didn't quite know how to handle that from taking, you know, going to these big clubs and then coming back to playing for your national team. It's different. You know, it's not the same. So it's a different motivation, I think, with playing for your country. Now you can ask anybody that plays internationally that it's just different. And it's not a good difference, not a bad difference, it's just different. But I think now that they've grasped that feeling and that whole idea of what it means to play for a national team, you see it in their performances, you see it. And their, you know, their grittiness to grind out results when football sometimes is not pretty. You know, you see it in their performances and their tackling and their togetherness, the culture that they're trying to build. And, Greg Berhalter is a big part of that. So I think that is the part where, you know, us now, I say me as a fan can really get behind this team and support the team because, you know, they know what it means to play for the United States and how much this means, not only for them, but for us as well. You know, we want to see beautiful football. We want to see them playing the style that Greg likes and really fluid and attack minded and, you know, counter pressing and all those things. But sometimes it's not going to work, you know, but if we can still have that mentality that even at the 89th minute, if we're down or we're, you know, tied 0-0, we can still get a goal. We can still push on and get a result. And I think that mentality is starting to creep into the national team now.
Yeah, every game's not going to be 5-1 like in Panama, but that was a great uplifting experience. We're talking to DeMarcus Beasley. What a career he's had at both with the U.S. men's national team. And yeah, I got to mention the Chicago Fire back in the day because there was a lot going on there. I remember doing a lot of your games in Chicago. All right, let's talk about your former teammate, Greg Berhalter. He's obviously his star is shining right now with – especially, I think, going into this last round with all the absences due to injury, Dest and Aaronson and, of course, Weston McKennie. So, I mean, you got to say he's pulling the strings beautifully here, and he's got a very, very focused and intensely loyal to each other group.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. You have to give him credit. We did not qualify to 2018. His job was to get this group, young group. I mean, we can say whatever you want to say. Excuse me, the clubs that they play at, the high level, the Champions League with Christian winning the Champions League, Weston playing well at Juventus, that's one thing. But getting that team to qualify for the World Cup was the main goal. And they are on the brink of doing that. So you have to give credit to Greg Berhalter. Yes, he's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. But, you know, I think that what he's done with this group, and it's kind of a short period of time is phenomenal to be able to, you know, have these players, their mentality to go out and win and to grind and to fight and get us back to into a World Cup. We all know it's not easy to qualify in CONCACAF. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, the differences or, you know, what it takes or what it's like in away games and this and that, it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that we're one step away from qualifying for the World Cup. So, you know, and we've been playing better as of late. And I think that a lot of that goes to him, his player selection, the mentality that's given to the players and the confidence that he's given to these players to go out and show your talent, go out and play, you know, the way you know how to play in our system in the American way. I think that's beautiful to see. And I'm very happy for Greg and his coaching staff that, you know, we're one step closer to qualifying for the World Cup.
He's DeMarcus Beasley. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Christian Pulisic's hat trick. That performance, is that kind of a watershed moment, you think, for him? I mean, that's the way everybody's positioning it in the media.
Yeah. I mean, you look at some of the last window, didn't play as well. First game against Mexico, didn't play as well. But the effort was there. You know, the effort was there. He was getting in those positions to score and to help his team get a result. Just wasn't happening. And you expected, you know, as fans, I won't lie, I did too. You know, coming off the season or the last couple of months that he's had for Chelsea, you would think he was coming in flying against Mexico. He would have scored that chance and, you know, he just would have kept, you know, moving forward, but it didn't happen. And that's football. It happens, you know. But for him to come back and, you know, obviously given the armband and come back in a big way against a must-win match against Panama at home and to score a hat trick, I mean, that shows that he's a gamer. He's up for the task. You know, the last goal he scored was crazy when he made the dude and slide it past the goalkeeper. So we all know that the talent that Christian is. And, you know, hopefully he just keeps, you know, progressing and hope that, you know, his stint with Chelsea and with the national team will continue. But, yeah, we need him to, you know, be playing at a high level for us to, you know, get results.
DeMarcus Beasley joining us, and had an outstanding career, played at Rangers, Man City. It must have been a different Man City back when you were there.
Very different.
Tell me a little bit about that, because I talked to Earl Barrett, who's coaching locally here in Houston with the Rise, and he said the same thing. He goes, it was light years different than to what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, it is different. You know, I mean, just from what I see on TV and obviously what, you know, from even from like the infrastructure, you know, the stadium is a little bit bigger. You know, the training facility, I'm sure, is, you know, amazing now, even better than it was before. But yeah, I mean, it is different. Obviously, with all the money that came in after I left, there's going to be some changes, you know, the personnel, the how they play, the style, the coaching, and all that stuff. I mean, it is truly a world-class team and a world-class organization. But one thing I will say that is the same is the support. Even we were, I think, in my year, you probably looked this up, I think we finished either 14th or 15th in the Premier League that year. But whenever we played at home, they were still sold out. The support from the fans at Man City was and still is phenomenal. So that part has never changed. They're going to support you when you're, you know, down, fighting relegation, if you're mid-table, or if you're, you know, fighting for the championship. You know, they're going to be there. So the support that City gets, that they have gotten, you know, throughout the years, that's never changed. Now it just seems, obviously, on a more global stage or a more global platform. But the fan support was amazing when I was there. You know, I always felt connected with them as well. And I think that's one thing for me that has stayed, you know, true, is the support that City has always given their players and the club.
Well, you no doubt were a pioneer. I mean, you were forging new grounds when it came to the clubs you played in Europe. And, you know, it was a lot more difficult for an American player to be getting the opportunities and earning the opportunities you had. I mean, the indoctrination to their history, though, how long did that take when you got there, right? Because the histories of these teams are just remarkable how far back they go.
Yeah, I mean, you do know the history. And sometimes, it's taught to you. You know, you learn the culture, and, you know, the players and the staff and even the fans that have been there before you. You know, you learn those different things as you go, and you try to engulf yourself into, you know, where you are, because you know, you want to, you know, understand. Well, most players, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, but for me, I wanted to always put myself and engulf myself in the club and the city that I was at. You know, that was trying to, you know, learn the culture and learn the football culture as well, the history of the club. That was always something that was important to me. There's always one thing, you know, to go on the field and play well and try to win, you know, the fans over that way as well. But, you know, there's another element to that. You know, I wanted to, you know, try English food or British food and, you know, just, you know, be in a cafe and just sit and people watch and just see how, you know, things are and how people live. And, you know, I was never a sightsee guy. Like, I didn't really go to sites and see different things and take pictures. That wasn't really me. I just wanted to, you know, I want to get lost in the city and, you know, try to find my way back home. You know, those things I enjoy doing. But yeah, when you're in a club that has so much history, you can't help but to learn about it, and you can't help but to, you know, open your ears and listen to, you know, the people before you and the stories that they tell you about different players that came to the club, and, you know, stories about, you know, pranks or stories about, you know, we had a fan that's been at the club or been watching the club for 60 years. Like, you know, you have a connection with that fan or with those fans because they've been to the club, and you have to, you know, for one, show respect to that, but at the same time, you want to be a part of that. So those things, I think, was always important for me in my career whenever I went to Europe and played for a club.
Now, look, the clubs you played on, big name clubs, along with that came a real pressure, and a very different pressure than you ever got in Major League Soccer. Discuss that a little bit, because that had to have helped elevate and accelerate your player development too.
Yeah, it did. It did. And, you know, to be honest, I can't say that unless I give respect to Chicago Fire, because back then, you know, that team was built to win. And it was built to, you know, have, you know, tradition. And, you know, the players that, the players that brought in, that they brought in at that time were winners. I mean, you look at, you know, the Novaks and the Stoichkovs and, you know, CJ Browns and the Chris Armises and Zach Thornton, you know, all these, you know, Jesse Marsh, Wolfie, you know, Josh Wolf. I mean, the list goes on, but, you know, we put the pressure on ourselves to win every game. And the mentality that we had in the club was, you know, we wanted to win. So I think that helped me at a young age, you know, get to that point. It wasn't enough to, you know, to just make the playoffs. And I know that sometimes mentality, or sometimes it's deemed the mentality of MLS players that, you know, they'll always be in MLS. There's no pressure because, you know, there's no relegation, there's no promotion. And it's like, when you make, when you don't. That wasn't how it was in Chicago. So I think that helped me. That helped me pressure with the pressure in when I went to PSV. Obviously, it was a little bit heightened because it's a different story and a different club, and it, obviously it's a bigger club. But I just think I can't say, you know, that, you know, being able to handle the pressure came when I was in Europe. I think it started when I was in Chicago. You know, anyone can tell you when you play on the same field as Stoichkov. There's pressure. Trust me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is pressure. There is, you know, he's yelling at you the whole time.
But therein,
you know, you don't run.
But what's isn't that? Doesn't therein lies the beauty of you being on a team early in your career with a
yes.
guy like Stoichkov?
And I've said that many of times.
And
yes,
I'm really interested in what you said about the fact that internally you guys look, you can glide through MLS. You know that. There's no consequence in July and August sometimes. You turn it on the right time, you get there. But it sounds like you guys as a group, and by the way, a bunch of these guys end up coaches, right? Wolf,
yeah.
Marsh, Zach, Thornton. But it sounds yeah. like you guys also, through the aid of your coach, Bob Bradley, were able to create this competitive cauldron on your own that kept the bar high.
Yes, we did. And I'm sure you've spoken to Bob and you've heard him speak, you know, we always raised the bar, whether that was training, you know, our commitment, you know, discipline on and off the field, all those things was at a high level. And I mean, you look at, I remember one camp, Bruce was the coach. Then we had, I think we had like 9 players going to camp from one team. That's unbelievable. So already that mentality, it was, you know, myself, Zach, Chris Armas, Wolfie, Ante, I think even Evan went in, Diego Gutierrez, we all went in at some, you know, one together from one team. That already is the culture that you know, was built in Chicago, is that you had winners. You had people that wanted to be at a different level, at a high level because of, you know, they're playing for your country, you're international. You know, so that, and then mixed with the Europeans that we had with Stoichkov and Lubos and Peter and Dima and those guys that have played in Europe and know what pressure it is to win and, you know, to be successful every single day, every game. You know, I was in that culture at 17 years old. So whenever I speak about, whenever I talk about, you know, how, you know, deal with pressure, the mentality to win every game when you were at Rangers, especially when I was at PSV, you know, I was like, no, I learned that. I was engulfed in that in Chicago. You know, you look at the people that I was around, they wanted to win. That was it. Like, if, you know, I remember the story, Wolfie, it was him, it was Josh Wolf, Josh, Ante, and Risto. And there's a couple games that Wolfie didn't start, and he was starting. And I went up to Wolfie and I said, Wolfie, I was like, aren't you upset that you're not starting? Aren't you like mad? He's like, B, this is how it is. You know, I'm a 17-year-old kid. He's like, this is how it is. You know, if I don't score in one or two games, I'm gonna be on the bench. So already that mentality, I remember that when I was 17, I'm 39 now.
Yeah.
I just remember that short little conversation, just how tough it is, you know, to play and to perform at every single day, you know, to get into a team to play, you know? So little things like that helped me along my way when I started in Chicago.
Yeah, that's a great little piece there. You telling us about that because boy, those early influence me so much. Look, we got 1 minute left, DeMarcus. Quickly, tell me about Fort Wayne FC. I really love this. You're paying it forward in your hometown.
Yeah, it's great, man. We're getting ready for our second season, you know, in USL 2. It's really great to have a club to, you know, that's kind of like a blank sheet. You know, you kind of you learn as you go, but at the same time, you try to put people around you that, you know, are smarter than you and know a lot more than you to make this work and to create something beautiful. That's what we're trying to do. We want to give opportunities, you know, to kids and to, you know, inspire them to, if they want to be a professional soccer player, they can right in their hometown. And if not, we hope that we can inspire them in a different way. You know, that's always the idea of what we're trying to build here. But yeah, I mean, I'm having a blast. I'm at the office now. So like I said, we start in May. So just trying to get some pieces together before the season starts.
DeMarcus, that's equally impressive to me that you're giving back to the game post amazing playing career at both the national team level and the club level. This is a real quick one. Tricky B's or Run DMB? Which do you like better?
Oh, man, that's tough. That's tough.
They're both good, by the way.
Really? Yeah, no.
I think they're both good.
I'll say Tricky B's only because that was the first nickname I got.
Okay.
I'll say that. I'll say Tricky because I got that when I was, 17 or 18, I think. So, yeah, I'll say that one because that was the first
one. All right, Tricky B's it is. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with being connected to Run DMC.
Yeah, there's not.
My favorite rap.
I was going to say, yeah, the old school. Yeah, we know about Run DMB. Yes, of course, Run DMC. Sure.
All right, DeMarcus, this was fun. Thank you very much for coming on.
No problem, Glenn. Good talking
right.
to you.
We'll talk to you soon.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.